Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, in demand for electronic devices, as you know, is booming, from smartphones to laptops and tablets. Most people have one, if not all, of those products, and the purchases are often driven by technological developments and fashion. But what do you do with your old electronics? Do you know how to recycle them, or could you have them refurbished to begin with? Well, to find out more, I'm joined by Tad Kierakowski, who's CEO of the environmental charity Voice, and Killian Kaminski from the organisation Refurbed, and you're both welcome. Killian, first to you, like, we are seeing a huge increase, aren't we, in the level of e-waste. Why do you think that's the case?
Yeah, thank you, Claire. Great to be on the show. I think that there's really strong development in manufacturers producing more and more frequently new generations of devices, which of course creates much more e-waste, and also the longevity of these products is getting shorter and shorter. So overall, we see a really strong development on e-waste levels, which of course is a really big problem, not only for the planet, but also for the health of the people which are dealing with them.
So if people are buying these cheaper and cheaper products, is it possible to refurb and use them again?
It really depends on the product categories. But when you're talking about specifically private label products from China, which you can now buy through these Asian marketplace platforms, which are floating Europe and the Western world. A lot of these products, which are costing then 10 to 20 or 30 euros, they are too cheap to really refurbishing them. So they're built for waste and for linear economy, which of course is a shame for the planet and for the possibility of circular economy.
Mm-hmm. And Tad, what are you seeing in terms of the level of waste that we have now, e-waste?
So yeah, thanks very much for having us on, Claire. So yeah, e-waste is one of the fastest growing waste streams at the moment. There's about 11 million tons of e-waste created per year. And I suppose this is one of those kind of areas where there's a huge issue where when this is kind of improperly disposed of, it has massive environmental impacts from those kind of, from the materials, say mercury spilling into the environment, causing health issues, causing impacting on water quality. It has a litter problem. We've all seen vapes all over the countryside, on the ground, all over the countryside. There's also health and safety impact, where kind of batteries can cause fire risks as well. And there's also, like, there's huge quantities of resources that are lost when we improperly dispose of these materials as well. And these are the kinds of metals and materials that we really need if we're going to have this kind of energy transition to a kind of more battery-powered and energy future.
So what are you most concerned about then? Is it the phones that most people who are listening to this, and indeed myself, will have tucked away in a drawer that we no longer use? Is it the cables that we don't use? Or is it the devices that we're putting into the general waste?
So I suppose you've kind of put your finger on it there, that e-waste is a huge swathe of things, everything from your dishwasher down to the AAA battery in the back of a light somewhere. And the kind of the larger items, there tends to be quite a good kind of collection on those. The smaller items, the kind of small IT items, only about 12% of those are ever recycled. And about 60% of those are going to be still in a drawer. We've all got that little kind of cupboard down somewhere that has a bunch of old broken phones and broken wires.
Yeah.
And that's the untapped potential that we really need to get back into circulation there as well. They're kind of typically called the invisible wastes.
So Killian, what should we be doing with all of those items that a lot of people will have in their homes?
I think in the first place, it's about like how we can prolong the lifetime of these products. A first step would be just to forward functional products to your family members, maybe, which still need a device. The next step would be, if there's a broken device, to start repairing them, or, for example, selling them back to refurbishers like us, where we are able to refurbish these devices to extending the lifetime by just replacing maybe these one or two components which have a defect, truly ensuring a longer lifetime. And then as a last step, we should provide them to a recycling facility. So really ensuring that these products are not in the household bin or commercial bins, but really in the right facility, to ensuring that at least the resources can be won out of the products. So that is, I think, the step-by-step process that everyone should consider to ensuring that the products are living as long as possible.
How damaging is it when we put these small electrical items into the domestic bin?
I mean, it's a big disaster, because they normally will not be separated at the later stage in the waste facility. So as Ted already mentioned, they will really harm the environment strongly, but also the health of the people. as they are just, like, for example, burned in waste facilities or other places, which of course can also take a risk on safety measurements for these the people working there. So it is something which we really should take serious. And with the batteries that also were already described in the beginning, and there are possibilities for returning them, for example, in supermarkets or anything comparable. But for a lot of other items, that is not the case. And therefore, from convenience factors, many people are just dropping them in the household bin. But it really should be aware what kind of risk it takes for the planet and for us as humans.
Okay. And Tad, how good are we at in Ireland at recycling batteries?
So batteries, we've recycled about 60 million AA batteries every year. So I think batteries are one of the things that we tend to kind of get relatively well. I think it's now we're kind of starting to see more of those smaller IT pieces like the phones, the watches, those kinds of pieces that we really need to kind of start concentrating on. And I suppose, as Killian mentioned there, that's kind of coming back to that idea of working down through reuse where we can, refurbishment before we kind of get to the recycling stage. And we're kind of increasingly seeing a lot of, across the country, we're seeing things like repair cafes starting to spring up where people are coming with items to get them repaired and share that knowledge with each other. And we also see, we'd love to see growing number of the kind of the repairs, repair centers across the country, companies exactly like Refurb that are doing that piece, that is bringing in the materials, getting them fixed, getting them back up and running and out again.
But Tad, I'm sure you'd agree that if someone is buying a Bluetooth speaker for €20, that you're really less likely then to try and get that piece repaired or refurbished.
Yeah, for sure. So, like, I think it's incumbent on us as kind of, if you're buying those pieces, to make sure that you dispose of them correctly. So that's bringing them to, whether that's to the kind of the drop-off points around the country, the Wee drop-off points, or kind of Wee Waste is free to bring to a civic amenity site either. You have those in hand. Or if you're buying a new one, electrical retailers are obliged to take back on a one-for-one basis as well.
Mm-hmm. And is that system working, that return system to the retailers?
So I think there's kind of a lot of scope there for increased kind of knowledge. I think we did a big, Voice Here did a big campaign around single-use vapes last year, particularly around the loss of those materials there. And very few, if any, of the retailers we talked to were aware that vapes could be kind of, or should be taken back as a Wee Waste item. So I think there's a lot of work to be done on that. But like Killian kind of mentioned as well, the first instance is to reduce waste in the first place. Mm-hmm. So making sure that we keep materials in use, so reusables and kind of refurbishing and passing on where possible, where there's still life in it.
And we know that the government intention certainly is to ban disposable vapes. So that problem may be dealt with in part, at least if that comes to pass.
Yeah, so that would be kind of like, that would be a big win for us, and that would be something that would address that particular item. But the kind of the point stands across all sorts of single use electronic items, and kind of bringing that point to bear across how we manage our materials. And I think we think of this, you know, you imagine your own microwave is broken today. What are you going to do? More than likely, you're going to go out and get a new one. But we need to start kind of thinking about, well, can it be repaired, or can it be brought to someone who can repair it and resell it? Those kinds of ideas are what we kind of really need to kickstart our kind of repair economy. And this is kind of building in that circular economy approach.
Yeah. And, you know, think about saving money as well, Killian, because if you go out and get a repair for something, I mean, how long might you be looking at in terms of extending the life cycle of that product if you do go down the repair route?
I mean, normally when you're repairing devices, you really can extend the lifetime by 2 or 3 times, depending on the product. I think the problem that we're reaching at one point, specifically when we're talking about IT devices, is more the software updates that stop working at a specific time period. So despite that you have a perfect functional device, you're kind of at one point required to change it to a newer model, just because you cannot use anymore the apps or the software update that you would require to using your old device. And I think this is more like a policy and regulatory piece, where on the political level, we are required to really enforcing manufacturers to provide longer software updates to really ensure that repairing and refurbishment also makes sense, financially sense for the long term, and also enables therefore customers to be willing to buy these products, because they can be ensured that they can use this refurbished or repaired devices for another 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, that, I mean, that makes no sense. If you have a perfectly working phone or a tablet, but it's not going to work for you because the software doesn't agree with the age of the device. That really makes no sense if our aim is to promote the circular economy, Killian.
Yeah, sadly, that is a reality. I mean, when you're looking at the software updates provided by smartphones, like as an easy example, Apple is normally doing it 5 to 7 years, like Android is doing it like around 5 to 6 years, which means that even if you are refurbishing and you are able to refurbish a device after 5 years, it's probably not worse to sell them again in Ireland or in other European countries because the software updates are not supported anymore. So this is something which we have to tackle on the European level and which we are also doing, like ourselves specifically as part of the European Refurbishment Association. We are strongly lobbying against this practice to ensuring that manufacturers can provide software updates and must provide software updates for a longer time period.
Yeah, when I was growing up, Tad, there were repair shops everywhere. You know, if your washing machine broke down in your house at home, yeah, you'd always have your parents taking it off or the television to be fixed. But those places disappeared when the price of those products started to come down. Are you saying that we're heading back now to a time where you could get things repaired and that we have more of those shops popping up?
Yeah, so I suppose we would be really calling for increased supports for those kinds of shops and those kinds of that kind of skills training as well to make sure that we have those skills there to keep those pieces in place. And as you mentioned there, the idea of you're touching on the idea of planned obsolescence, so machines that are IT that is designed to kind of fall out of use over a period of time, that's something that needs to be addressed. But also in terms of how they be repaired and how they can be repaired. And I suppose at the EU level, there is the Right to Repair Directive that has just been passed through. And that's bringing in increased controls and kind of obligations on producers to make sure the parts are available and the access to those parts is available for kind of refurbishers such as Killian's work there. So I suppose that's kind of one of the areas that's coming down the line. But there are other countries that are going even further than that. France and Belgium are bringing in repairability scores on IT and electronic items that will give you an indication when you're buying it, how easy will it be to fix this machine?
Well, that would be very useful. Thank you both. That's Tad Kierakowski from Voice and Killian Kaminski from the organisation Refurbed.